Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your holy Sabbath hours. And Lord, as we are on holy ground, and we are in holy time, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to sanctify our hearts and our minds, that truly we might understand these words that we're about to listen to, that you'd guide us and lead us into all truth, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And we are asked a question at the conclusion of this chapter. It is pretty much the end of the sixth seal, although it does stretch into the chapter 7. But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" The Bible is asking us this question: who shall be able to stand in the day of God's wrath? Friends, when is the day of God's wrath? Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. What is God's wrath? Because he is asking, who shall be able to stand in the day of God's wrath? Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Friends, who shall be able to stand in the day of God's wrath? Who shall be able to stand when God pours out his seven plagues upon the earth? There will be a group that will be able to stand. There will be a group that will be standing through these plagues, just as God had a people that went through the 10 plagues that were poured upon Egypt. Who are they? But friends, when you look at the seven last plagues, if you take time to read through Revelation 15, and especially chapter 16, which is where the seven plagues are found, these plagues are like none other that have ever been poured upon the earth. There is nothing that we have ever seen or experienced to this time, since the beginning of the earth, that God has done that would be comparable to what we're going to see at the end of time. Mind cannot even imagine. It's not even reached to that point. But friends, let's go back to Revelation chapter 7 now, because chapter 6 and verse 17 is the very last verse of that chapter. But in chapter 7, we see the answer. Who shall be able to stand? Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." We see four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. And they're holding what? The four winds of the earth. This is related to the wrath of God. How do we know? What does wind represent in the Bible? What does wind represent? Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 27. What does wind represent in the Bible? These four angels, it takes angels to hold these winds. What do they represent, friends? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 27. "When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." Friends, what do these winds represent? It represents worldwide desolation, worldwide destruction, worldwide distress and anguish. Friends, there's coming a day when these angels are going to let go of these four winds, and they're going to blow on the earth, and then these plagues are going to be poured out. That is what is represented right there. But let's turn our Bibles to Zephaniah chapter 1. What is this destruction and desolation referring to? Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 14. What is this destruction and desolation referring to? Zephaniah 1:14 and 15. "The great day of the Lord is near, It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Do you see that? The day of the Lord is a day of wrath. It is a day of what? Trouble. Friends, this is none other than the seven last plagues. But now let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written where? In the book. Friends, you see that? There will be a day of trouble one day. There will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. These seven last plagues are like none other that we have ever seen in the history of the earth. That is that time when Michael shall stand up. But that is a time when everybody who shall have their names written in the book of life shall be delivered. And we could probably wrap it up here and say, look, who shall be able to stand? Those that are saved, obviously. But we want to dig in a bit deeper. First, I want to look at Michael. We know that Michael is Jesus, okay? Michael is Jesus. Jude chapter 1 verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16, John chapter 5 verse 25. With these three texts, we can see that Michael here is represented as Jesus Christ. And he will stand up one day. And when he stands, then the time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, shall come upon the earth. But friends, what did Jesus sit down as? If he is to stand up, what is he doing right now as he is sitting down? He is sitting down right now because the seven last plagues have not been poured upon us yet. Jesus is sitting down, and when he stands up, he's done with something. He's finished with something. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. When Jesus went up to heaven, what did he sit down as? Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Pardon me. Hebrews 8 verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Friends, when Jesus went up to heaven, he sat down as what? High priest. Whoever liveth to make what? Intercession for all of us. So, what does the high priest do? Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, I quoted it a bit too early. Let's turn the Bibles there. What is the role of the high priest? What is Jesus doing for us right now as high priest? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. When Jesus went up to heaven, my dear friends, he did not go on a vacation. He was not taking a break because of the trials that he went through on the earth. No, he went straight into the holy place and he began to make intercession for every single one of us. So that even as we sin today and we confess our sins, he is faithful as a high priest to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, Jesus is still making intercession for us today. He is still there, sitting down as a high priest. But the Bible says that there will come a day, one day, when Jesus will stand up and intercession will cease. Intercession will cease. That's why when we go back to Proverbs chapter 1, let's turn our Bibles there. Proverbs chapter 1, and we read verse 27, those winds of desolation and destruction. Proverbs 1:27. Now look at what it says in verse 28. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not what? Find me. Why? Because Jesus, at that time when the winds are blowing out on the earth, He stood up already. There is no more intercession for anybody at all. At that time, if you feel sorry for your sins and you want to pray to God and ask God to forgive you, He will not forgive any more. My dear friends, there's coming a day when probation will close upon the whole earth. What Revelation 22 verse 11 says, He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. So there's coming a day when everybody's destinies will be sealed forever, even those that are alive on this earth. They might be alive, but when the plagues begin to fall, there is no more changing sides. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous forever. Friends, who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand in that day when the plagues fall? Who shall be able to stand when Jesus stops interceding? Who shall be able to stand? Let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4. What does it mean to be able to stand? Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says this: Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Who shall stand? Verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Friends, who shall be able to stand? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart. Friends, do you know that the mark of the beast goes in two places? In our forehead and or in our right hand? The heart and our hand? Do you see that? And if we want to avoid having the mark of the beast, we got to make sure that we have clean hands and a pure heart. Who shall be able to stand? It's not only in the day of God's wrath. It's not only that time when the seven last plagues are being poured out upon God's people. Friends, it is also that short time before probation closes when the mark of the beast has come upon the earth. And those people that are receiving the mark of the beast and that receive the mark of the beast in their foreheads or in their hand, they will be receiving the plagues of God. They will not be able to stand. Let's turn our Bibles now to Revelation chapter 7. We're there in verse 1. But now I want to read verse 2 and 3. So we see those four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. The wind is ready to blow upon the earth. Verse 2. Revelation 7 verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their what? Foreheads. Friends, the servants of God are those that will be sealed in the forehead, and they are the ones that do not receive the mark of the beast. They are the ones that are able to stand when God's wrath is being poured out. Who are these people? We see in the very next verse of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 4, the Bible says this: And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed what? 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Friends, God's last day people that will go through the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. They are the 144,000. They are the ones that receive the seal of God in their foreheads. They are the ones that are able to stand through the day of God's wrath, when everybody else is falling, when all those, back in Revelation chapter 6, the great men of the earth, they are crying to the mountains and to the rocks to fall upon them. Friends, they are the 144,000, but yet they are called something else back there in verse 2. Did you see what it was? They have the seal of what? The living God. They receive not just any seal, but it's a seal that is very special. It's the seal of the living God. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. Acts chapter 14 and verse 15. What is connected with the living God? Acts 14, verse 15. And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto who? The living God. What about the living God? Which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Friends, the living God is the Creator God. So the seal of God is connected with God being Creator. Now what else is connected with that? Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. What is this seal of God? The seal of the living God. We know it's connected with creation, God as Creator. But now let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. This is what the Bible says. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Friends, what is being sealed? The law of God. And you know what? In the Ten Commandments, there is only one of the ten that is connected with creation. Did you know that? There is only one of the Ten Commandments that is connected with creation. It is the Sabbath. The seal of God is the Sabbath commandment. That is what God's seal is. And look, this is the one that only points out God as the Creator. The Sabbath. You know, friends, it's probably easier than ever today to break the Sabbath, especially during this time of MCO. Do you know that? Somehow the Sabbath message is brought out. Somehow the 144,000 that will stand through the time of trouble such as never was, they'll be Sabbath keepers. Do you see that? They will be Sabbath keepers. And today, during this time of MCO, it is probably more tempting to break the Sabbath than ever before. Why? All the days are just becoming one. We're just stuck at home all day. Granted that our MCO is lifted a little bit, but many of us are still working from home. We are still stuck at home. We are still at home. And then on Sabbath, we're at home as well. And it's so easy. It seems like there's no different from Monday, Sunday, a Sabbath. There's no difference. And maybe some of us are even dreading the Sabbath. You know, maybe your dread is a little bit different than my dread. I'm the busiest on this day. I preach 4 sermons in the space of 24 hours. It gets busy. I have no time to be sitting, idling around. But you know, friends, it's so easy for us to just pick up our phones and get on the news and just maybe even do the things that we've been doing all the other days of the week. But friends, I want to remind you that this day that we are in right now is holy time. It's blessed by God, and we got to be careful that we are not transgressing it. I hope that during this time of MCO, you've grown closer to the Lord, that the Sabbath has been more special, that you've been more blessed, that you've learned to be more holy in these times. But friends, God wants us to have clean hands and a pure heart, even on the Sabbath day, that we got to be careful that we are not transgressing it. But how can we have clean hands and a pure heart? What does this mean? Is it just a Sabbath? What does it mean? How can we have these clean hands and pure hearts? Let's go in our Bible to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, scripture song. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Look at this. It gives us the solution right here. Because those that are able to stand are those that have clean hands and a pure heart, according to Psalms. James 4, verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Friends, we are to have clean hands and a pure heart. And if we are to cleanse those hands and purify our hearts, the Bible here in James says we got to submit ourselves to God. We will never have clean hands and a pure heart. We will never be ready for the second coming and the end time events unless we learn to submit ourselves to God today. Friends, what does it mean to submit? Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. We're going to go to a few texts here, but just to give us a little bit of understanding about submission, what is this referring to? Romans 13 verse 1, the Bible says this: Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. What are these higher powers? It's not those spiritual wickedness in high places, okay? We should not be obeying any devil. We should be resisting them, the Bible says. But we should be subject to the higher powers. What does that mean? We should obey them. Friends, so long as what the government puts into law in our land of today does not go against our ability to follow Jesus and what the scripture says, we should submit ourselves to them. We should obey. So, look, if the Bible, if the law of the land says you should stop when it's red, you should stop. Do you see that? We should, as far as possible, obey the laws of the land where God has put and allowed these powers to be in control at this time. He's the one that allowed it. But of course, if it goes against the dictates of our own conscience, then we've got to be careful. We ought to obey God rather than man. But look, so we see it's in relation to submission. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:22. This is what the Bible says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. So submission, okay, does that mean really just obedience? Maybe. So maybe some of you husbands are saying amen. It's like, hey, look, you see, the pastor saying you should submit, right? Not only wives, friends. Let's go back one verse. Let's go back to verse 21 of Ephesians 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Not only wife, husband as well. And husbands, please, obey your wife today. This weekend, it's Mother's Day. Treat them special, right? What does submission mean? We are putting ourselves into subjection to somebody, and whatever they ask us to do, we do. And so as we obey the word of God, as we submit ourselves to God, the Bible says that the devil will flee from us. Why? Because as we draw near to him and we're obeying him and Christ is living in and through us, the devil has no part in our lives whatsoever. And so he flees. Because we are under another power. His name is Jesus Christ. So, friends, question. Have you grown closer to God in this lockdown? Have you drawn closer to him? He doesn't draw near to us if we don't draw near to him. Do you know that? We got to take the first step. Jesus, he's taken all the steps already that he can take. He took those steps all the way down that blood-stained path to Gethsemane, the cross. And friends, he's done all that he could already. So it's not, God is not going to do anything if you don't do anything. He's done all that he can possibly do as God already. He's waiting for you and me. When the Bible asks, who shall be able to stand? It's not in some haughty way, who shall be able to stand, and asking, who can? And not anybody can, unless you're with me, you know, God says. No, He's done all that He can. And He's waiting for you and me to submit to Him. He's done all that He can to get our attention, to reach out to us, to chase us. And today He's waiting. Do you know that? He's waiting for us to respond. But many of us, maybe even in lockdown, we've been too busy. We've been too busy trying to entertain ourselves. We've been too busy for so many things except reaching out to God. Friends, how can we stand before God? We've got to submit ourselves to Him. What else? Let's turn in our Bibles to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15. What else does it mean to stand and to be able to stand in the day of God's wrath? Ezra chapter 9 verse 15. O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before Thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before Thee because of this. Friends, we cannot stand before God if we are in our trespasses. We cannot stand before God if we are in sin. We cannot stand before God unless we have had victory over sin. And that must take place before probation closes. Remember, because one day when Jesus stands up, and if you are in your sin, you're going to remain in sin forever. That means you're going to be lost. Today is the day that we got to deal with our sin problem. Do you know that? Today, not in the future. Because in the future, when God closes probation and He comes for a second time, we will have our fate sealed already. And look, do you know that there has been close of probation throughout Earth's history? Did you know that? In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned, before he died, he looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus standing. It means that he was sitting before. What has happened? Probation closed on the Jewish nation. And even Sodom and Gomorrah, probation closed upon them. And even as Abraham pled for the lives of the people there, just 10 people, God, just 10. Probation still closed. And those that were destroyed in those cities were lost forever. Lost. And on a side note, you know, Lot, he had two daughters, but there were other daughters that stayed back in Sodom that were lost. Friends, if you want to save your family, you got to get out into the country. You know, we talked about country living quite a few times now, but some of us, we are in the cities and lost because we're just soaking up all this wickedness that is in these cities today. Some of us, we got to simplify. But you know, there are two close of probations that I want to focus on that mean very much to us. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to first Genesis chapter 6 verse 3. It's related to Noah. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3. This is another close of probation, the flood. But you know what's very interesting? In Genesis 6:3, God said to Noah, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God said there's going to be a close of probation. My spirit is not going to strive with man all the time. And of course, the flood would be that time when it would destroy the whole earth, but there would be a few saved. However, probation actually closed a bit earlier, before the waters actually came upon the earth. The animals all went into the ark, and that was a sign that something great was about to happen, right? But when all the animals finished going into the ark, and then Noah and his family went in, let's go over to Genesis chapter 7. An angel came and closed the door of the ark. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 10, this is what the Bible says. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Do you know that for 7 days, after all the animals went in and Noah went in, the door closed, and for 7 days, nothing happened. Rain did not come upon the earth yet. Probation had been closed on the whole earth, and yet for 7 days, nobody knew it. Did you know that? It is possible to have our probation closed, and yet the plagues not come yet. Did you know that, friends? It's possible to have your probation closed and still be alive. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. That famous story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. And actually, before that, you know, back to the story of Noah. I'm sorry, I missed this a little bit. Back to the story of Noah. Do you know that there was something that was interesting that happened before probation closed? It was not Noah building the flood for 100 building the boat for 120 years. No, it wasn't. It was the animals that walked in orderly, step after step, one behind the other, and they all in went in. Noah did not have to go and chase the animals. Did you know that? The angels rounded them up, and they went into that boat. There was a sign that God gave to the people of the world that something stupendous was about to take place. You know, friends, look, some of us might be waiting for something big to shake us awake out of our lethargy and our Laodicean condition. Do you know God is sending signs? Do you know that this is a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic? Do you know, look, this pandemic, this COVID-19 is not one of the seven last plagues. This COVID-19 is not the abomination of desolation. We'll study that in the future. This COVID-19 is not the close of probation already. This is not the time of trouble, even that little time of trouble before probation closes. Friends, this COVID-19, this pandemic worldwide, is one of the signs that God has said would be leading up to the close of probation and the time of trouble. Friends, has this COVID-19 shaken you awake? Do you realize that we are living in unprecedented times? I've never experienced a day like this before. Locked up for 2 months. People that have lived in the past 80 years, my parents, have never experienced such a day like this. Do you understand this? We are living in unprecedented times. Those animals walking into the ark, those animals that were walking into the boat, was a sign that something great was about to take place. And today, God is giving us a sign. Something is about to happen. You better get into the boat. You better get into that shelter and that safety. Something is about to take place, friends. Has this pandemic shaken you awake? Have you been more spiritually awake because of this? Or are you having your mind sealed unto the day of destruction and not redemption? Maybe some of you have gotten more wicked in this lockdown. Do you understand that, friends? Have you had your eyes open? Have you been watching? Have you been praying? Have you been spending time in His Word because you realize that these are the signs of the times? These are the beginning of sorrows. The birth pains are taking place right before our very eyes. And God is saying, wake up! Wake up! And yet He's telling His angel, an angel is sending from the east, having the seal of God, and it's saying to the four angels that are ready to let go of the winds, wait! Wait! Because somebody's not ready yet. Oh, friends, I hope that this time has shaken you awake. Maybe not awake enough. But you know, God is trying to get our attention, friends. Let's go back, go over to Genesis chapter 4. You know, after Cain killed his brother Abel, you know what happened? In Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Do you know from that point onward, Cain was a lost man? He was a lost man. And yet he would live for hundreds of years. God set a mark on him to make sure that no one would hunt him down and kill him. But he was lost. He was not turning back to righteousness again. Do you realize that? There can be probation closing upon people while they are still alive today. And the little time of trouble, the Sunday law, the mark of the beast has not come in yet. We could be like Cain. It is possible that even through this time of pandemic, some people's destinies are being sealed forever. I don't know. We don't know. It's called the unpardonable sin, friends. It's people having their consciences seared with a hot iron. That's why in Hebrews chapter 3, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's go there, friends. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Why? Because that's where God wants to seal it. With every repeated action and transgression, we are hardening our hearts. Or we're softening it. If the Holy Spirit is there. Friends, we can only stand before God if we are free from sin. And today, there is no excuse to continue in our sins. The 144,000 will stand before the throne of God without fault. And this has to happen before probation closes. If you are still sinning and probation closes, my dear friends, you are verily lost. You are lost. Do you understand that? You are lost. But today, Jesus is asking, who shall be able to stand? You're not standing alone. You're standing in the strength of Jesus Christ, my dear friends. Jesus is saying, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts today. Don't throw away salvation that is given to us so freely, but that was paid with such a dear price. Friends, this is where the seal of God goes, into our hearts, in our minds. This is where we must be soft and receptive to the Holy Spirit. You know, I've heard of reports that some people are just suffering out there during this time of pandemic. Some of us were on a downward spiral. And God has allowed this pandemic to maybe affect you very seriously. You might have lost a house. You might have had to close your business. Maybe some of you have had your hairs turn white overnight because you're stressing out trying to figure out how you're going to get some money. Friends, you might be suffering. Health, economically. But God is trying to get your attention. Do you understand this? These are the birth pains. This is a time, in this time of epidemic and pandemic, that God is trying to wake us up. To help us to see that if we don't wake up, we are going to be verily lost. And so I sympathize and I empathize for those that are going through difficult times, but I want you to see that even as you're listening today, maybe God is trying to save you. Do you understand this? God is trying to save you, friends. Won't you listen? Won't you wake up? If this little sermon has in some way got your attention, then I praise God. Because today is the day of our salvation. I'm not preaching to you anything new. The way of salvation has been the same since the very beginning of time. It's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His atoning blood. And yet that blood has to sanctify us. It's got to change us. It's got to justify us. And then it's got to sanctify. It's got to change the way we're living. You can't go on living this way. Granted, bad things happen to righteous people as well. But if bad things are happening to you today, maybe, just maybe, God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to say, my son, my daughter, wake up. The world is going to close up soon. And today, if you realize that you've been doing things that you should not have been, if you've been living in sin, now is the time to change. Now. Today. Today is the day that we've got to build characters for eternity. Today is the time that we've got to start taking our religious life seriously. Today, we need to start keeping the Sabbath holy. Today, we are setting in stone our hearts and our hands for time and eternity. Today, not tomorrow, friends. Today. Today, we need to be faithful. Today, we need to set our house in order. Today, we need to let Jesus in. Friends, today we must fully surrender to Jesus Christ and to His Holy Spirit. The signs are there already. Let us be ready with our lamps trimmed and burning. For truly, when that time comes, many will be caught unawares. But today, are you watching and waiting? Father in heaven, Lord, I want to pray for all my brothers and sisters out there. I want to pray for myself, Lord, that today you will help us to make thorough work of our salvation. Help us to see that there's a part for us to do. Help us to see that none will be saved in indolence. But Lord, we got to put forth earnest effort as well. And as we do, Lord, I know that that effort will be combined with the infinite power of God Almighty, who will help us to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Savior. So Lord, please, bless us to that end today. Help us that we might allow Jesus in. And Father, for those that are suffering, please comfort them. But through this time of trial and tribulation, open their eyes to their desperate need. Help us all to see, Lord, that at the end of time we might not be deceived, but that we might be able to stand on the sea of glass with the harps of God praising you for the victory that you've given us in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we surrender our lives to you now. Lead us through these Sabbath hours, Lord. Help us to grow in faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.